plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Coley. Today my guest is D.C. O'Rourke, Denny O'Rourke. He's a podcast host for the Hauntingly Yours, a podcast for the paranormal. And he's also a tour guide for the Extreme Ghosts of Williamsburg, Virginia. Denny will take you on a walking tour to the most haunted locations in Colonial Williamsburg. And during the two-hour tour, Denny even demonstrates some ghost-haunting equipment. He's also a poet, a writer, a paranormal investigator, a man with many hats. And I will have all of Denny's links at the bottom of this podcast in the show notes. Make sure you check out his podcast and also his videos on YouTube and Facebook. So without further ado, here is D.C. O'Rourke. How you doing, Denny? And welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast.
Hey, I'm doing great, Al. Thank you for having me on.
My introduction, I have you as a poet, a writer, a storyteller, a tour guide, paranormal investigator, podcast host. Anything I leave out?
I think that about covers it.
I see that you also consider yourself an old soul Renaissance man.
From a very young age, I've always had my hands in a little bit of everything. I'm never content with doing just one thing always. And I've felt this strong connection to the English Renaissance, where I almost feel like I've lived a past life in that time period.
Yeah, I see you recently you had on as your guest Dr. Christy Sumner and Miranda Young.
Yes.
I had Christy on myself on a past show, and she was very interesting. I think all three of you really share the same passion of history of where you go and the sites you investigate.
Oh, yes, very much so. I could tell that throughout the interview.
And what led you to getting into the paranormal?
Well, for me, it started off, I had a dream after my grandfather passed away when I was, he died 2 days before my 13th birthday. And 2 days after my family buried him, I woke up in a white room and in this dream. And I felt like it was more than a dream, though, if that makes sense at all. And I'm looking around the room thinking, okay, where am I? So I start walking all along, and this room goes on forever. And as I'm getting closer to the end of it, I hear somebody call out to me, and it turns out, you know, it's a familiar voice. It's my grandfather's. And I run over to him. He's sitting on this white throne dressed in a white suit, and he looks absolutely fantastic. And he says, I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. I just wanted to tell you how much I love you and that I hope you have a good life. And I woke up in absolute tears, and I knew that, you know, even at 13 years old, there was something more to that. And I told my mom and I told everybody else, but they told me I was, you know, crazy, that I was grieving, and it was my mind playing tricks on me. But it kind of put me on that path. And I've had other people come and go throughout my life over the years where they've visited me in a dream and given me some sort of message. And that was kind of the beginning, if you will.
And do you still feel that some of these dead people or spirits are still with you?
Sometimes I feel like that. I it's like even sitting in my own house, you know, it's like I know my house isn't haunted by any means at all, but I feel like there are presences here with me, you know, nearby, like watching over me.
Yeah, I seen you did a recent interview with somebody and they said they had static on your end. You thought maybe it was something from, you know, paranormal on your side of it, you know, with you.
Yeah, and, you know, and it was interesting because during that interview, I was seeing figures moving all around me, you know, while I was sitting in the room talking to the woman that was interviewing me. And then she told me that and I was like, oh, okay.
I've been doing this for quite a while and I love when I talk to different, you know, paranormal investigators. They have a different angle on it, you know.
Sure.
And I also found that, you know, a spirit picks who they want to be with, you know. And I've also read some of your bio where in the you're also a tour guide for Williamsburg, right?
Yes, that's correct.
I think they pick and choose who they want to be with or connect to.
Yeah, very much so.
I think that you said, had said on there when somebody was kind of acting up on your tour and, you know, kind of disrupts things, you know. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've seen that myself when, you know, I was on an investigation and when somebody doesn't take it seriously and they're joking and they just won't respond, you know. And and I was at Williamsburg probably about 6-7 years ago and took a ghost tour and checked out the battlefields and, you know, so many thousands of orbs. Different places had more activity, you know.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Virginia, plain and simple, just has a lot of history. You know, I mean, going all the way back to 1607 when the colonists, you know, came over from England and settled Jamestown. I mean, it's all right here, the very beginnings of the country.
One of my past guests was from Clark County, Virginia. That was extremely a haunted area.
Oh, yeah.
Some people consider that the most haunted place, you know, but there's so many. I mean, there's so many even here in Ohio to go to, you know.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they're everywhere.
Right. Absolutely.
When I connect with different investigators, you know, and it was brought to my attention a while back, you know, that we're all dealing with dead people, you know. And it hit me like, you know, you're correct, you know. And the paranormal field is so much more than that, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I agree. A lot more.
You want to explain about the shadow man in the woods with your friend?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, that is, it's like every time I tell it, it just, you know, and it embeds itself more and more into my memory to the point where I don't think I'll ever forget it. So it was July of 2007, and me and a buddy, we were working at this cafe in my hometown, and we were on the night shift, so, you know, he and I were closing up for the night, and he said, hey, what are you doing when you go, you know, for the night? And I said, going home, probably watch a little TV. Why? He said, you ever been ghost hunting? And I said, no, but, you know, I watched all the, you know, the big ghost hunter shows and stuff like that. So I said, yeah, you know, why not? And I had always been interested. So he took me out to Old House Woods, which was about a 10-minute drive from where I was living. And this place is, long story short, a 60-acre patch of woods, and it's nothing but pine trees and marshlands, and it's supposedly haunted by pirates, witches, headless animals, Revolutionary War soldiers, you know, everything you could possibly find in a mix of Edgar Allan Poe stories and Robert Louis Stevenson novels. I mean, it's all right there in these woods. And we drove down into the woods and we got to the end and I saw this no trespassing sign. And, you know, he said, oh, no, don't worry, don't worry. And we looped back around and came back out. And we got probably to about the middle of the woods. We got out of the car. He told me he was going to sit on the ground and astral project. I had no idea what this was, but I said, okay, you know, he explained it and everything. And he said, I need you to keep an eye on the woods and let me know if you see anything. And he sat on the ground, got into this like yoga-like position, started meditating, closed his eyes. And here I am standing a few feet away, looking all around the woods. It was probably just after midnight. I remember that it was a full moon and the light was, you know, from the moon was coming down right where we were. And 10, 15 minutes pass. I'm just listening to the sounds around me. Nothing's really happening. You know, I hear frogs. I hear the pine trees kind of swaying back and forth, clacking up against one another. And then I hear somebody moving through the woods just several feet in front of me. I can hear somebody clearly moving through the woods. And I even adjust my eyes and look in the right direction. And I see someone physically coming through. You know, branches are moving, foliage is being pushed around. And I'm watching and I'm like, okay, is this actually happening? Or, you know, am I seeing things? And then next thing I know, it was like this black cloud of vapor just kind of emerged from the woods, floated out to the road, came down, and then dissipated. And then it turned into this shadow man with a tricorn hat on and a long flowing overcoat. And he just stood there like he was ready to, you know, duke it out with me. And I'm, you know, basically speechless because I have no idea what I'm actually seeing. And I, you know, I yell at my friend. I'm like, hey, man, let's go. Let's go. And I said, something's behind you. Something's behind you. I take off running for the car and I hear him scream. And this shadow man is running after us now. You know, I can see this as I look back over my shoulder. He's clearly running after us. I get around to the car. I open the door, jump in the back seat, and I look out the back window. Here comes my friend running at the car. And right as he gets up to the trunk, this shadow man grabs him and throws him up against the back of the car. And, you know, I just hear this loud thud. And then next thing you know, the two of them are fighting. And, you know, my friend, he's screaming, help me, Denny, help me, help me. And I'm just screaming back, what do I do? What do I do? I have no idea. And I'm terrified. I mean, absolutely terrified. But finally, my friend, he threw a punch and he ended up running around the car, jumping in, out of breath, sweating all over. He started up the car and we drove off. And the last thing I remember as we're speeding out of the woods, I look back through the back window of the car and I see this shadow man who's running after us, but he's glowing from head to toe. He's this blue color. It's almost like he's absorbed the light of the moon, I guess you could say. And he stops running. I guess he gave up. And then there were six other guys standing behind him with tricorn hats and long flowing overcoats. And they were all glowing with that same blue color.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you know, of all these getting into your investigations, did you ever encounter anything similar? I mean, like anything, I wouldn't say like a demonic side, you know, the dark side.
I can't say I have, honestly. I mean, I've never really had anything, you know, I can't say demonic. No, I really can't, you know, and I've had some people tell me that what I encountered was probably a demon in that case, which could have very well been, but why take the form of a pirate?
Right.
You know, that's my question. But the area is very saturated with, you know, pirate history, you know, just colonial history in general. So it's a certain possibility, but I won't pretend to have all the answers.
During these investigations, like, what kind of equipment do you use?
Let's see. I've got divining rods or dowsing rods. I've got laser grid. I've got a REM pod, got a night vision camera, spirit box, K2 meters, digital voice recorder, I've got like a couple of toys because I encounter spirit children sometime. Mm-hmm. And I feel like those are good trigger items. If that makes any sense. Like,
yeah. The Christy had mentioned she uses a lot of trigger items with her investigations to try to lure out the spirits.
Yeah. I mean, and it really all depends on where you go and, you know, how, I guess, sociable they're feeling. But like the Peyton Randolph house, which is one of the houses I stop at when I do tours in Williamsburg, I have communicated with a bunch of the spirits that live there, and they have told me that there are at least 13 spirits of children in that house alone.
Yeah, I've been there. That's very active. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is. So it's like whenever I go there, the spirit children love to talk to me and interact with me. So I pull out the toys, you know, like I've got a ambulance that's like, you know, that I've rewired to have a motion sensor in it. So, you know, if they come near it, it'll light up and, you know, make sounds and stuff. Then like I have a doll and, you know.
Did you ever have that where you're off the equipment, it's done, and yet you feel something different than your equipment's picking up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That happens more often than you think, actually.
Right. Because I'm thinking, is it just me, or, because investigators I talk to, you know, experience the same thing, that sometimes they have an EVP or whatever they're using, and nothing's registering, and it's little things that happen during the night when you're not prepared, or you're changing batteries, or it's like they don't want to be recorded, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely know what you mean.
And I see that you have, you know, in your dreams, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff comes to you in your dreams. Some people say, is it just a dream, or are you dreaming a premonition, or, I mean, what's going on with that?
I think it's really hard to say. I've been told that I'm what the Cherokee Indians would call a dream walker, where I can basically go wherever I want subconsciously and, you know, visit, you know, these people who have passed on, you know, particularly the ones that are delivering me messages. Actually, one of the more recent ones, I'm not sure where I went, but I found out a friend had passed away, and it was suspected suicide, but they never proved it. And I woke up in what was like this outdoor warehouse type setting. I remember the sky was like very, very gloomy, very gray, a lot of clouds, and everybody there that was there they were all dressed the same. I mean, there were probably a couple of hundred people coming and going, and they were all wearing these like dark gray jumpsuits. And I'm pushing my way through all these people, and I'm thinking, all right, what's the deal with this dream? I mean, why am I thinking of this? And all of a sudden, somebody passes me, and it's my friend who had passed away. And I yell at him. I say, hey, you know, and he looks at me. He says, Denny, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. And I said, yeah, I'm just thinking the same thing. He said, well, get out of here, will you? And he walked over to a table and sat down, and somebody gave him a lunch tray, and he started eating. And I'm just, you know, kind of like, all right, did this just happen? And, you know, but I ended up waking up, and I thought to myself, all right, was that a dream, or did I go visit him wherever he might be, you know, within the spirit realm? You know, and I've shared that with a bunch of different people. I even had a conversation with a reverend from a church, and he said to me that he thinks that I got a glimpse of my friend who's more than likely in hell, working off his sins in the afterlife.
Yeah, almost kind of like a medium.
Yeah.
You're almost seeing things as a medium or a psychic would see.
Yeah, yeah. I had a conversation with a lady who, she has night visitations, and she said that she thinks I could possibly be a sleeping clairvoyant. that, believe it or not, that is such a thing. I said, who knew?
Yeah, you mentioned something, you know, saying like a dream walker, you know, in a lot of areas, extremely active, like your area, with so many deaths at the, you know, during the Civil War. Do you think that related to that?
I would say so. I mean, you know, wherever you encounter like battlefields and, you know, like field hospitals, you know, I just feel like these types of events leave almost like a psychic imprint on the landscape. And that energy just kind of lingers there, you know, within the grounds or, you know, within the walls of the buildings. And I think that in turn has some part, you know, in terms of the hauntings that take place. Williamsburg is very heavy in not only, you know, early, you know, like colonial history, but, you know, you've got stuff from the American Revolution, the Civil War. I mean, even World War One. I mean, there's just a lot there. Mm-hmm. I mean, so much, you know, talking about the Civil War, it's like, Williamsburg was actually part of the Civil War. May 5th, 1862. It was actually one of the first, true bloody battles of the war. You know, it was 10 hours long. It was fought in the rain, in the mud, and by the end of it, I think it was like close to 4,000 people had died between both sides.
Yeah, it's astronomical. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's just absolutely crazy. And I know when they came in to the main part of the city the very next day, they took over like 30 different buildings and turned them into hospitals and morgues because they just didn't know what to do with all these bodies that, you know, were obviously piling up. It's a good look at human bereavement. You know, you've got these, you've got, you know, widows trying to make contact, you know, with their husbands, you know, their brother, sister, mother, uncle, you know, that went off and did whatever in the war. And it's sad, you know, it really is.
And what got you that gig at the Colonial Williamsburg?
So originally, I went to work for the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation back in 2015 as a historical interpreter. And then a couple of months into that job, I found out that they were looking for ghost storytellers, you know, to do tours. And I said, oh, well, you know, here I am, paranormal investigator. I thought might be fun. Threw my hat in, I went to an audition, and they contacted me the next day and said, we'd love to have you. I worked for them for about 5 years, and they decided to merge my program with another, and I said, no, thank you. And I went my separate ways, had a gig at a Marriott resort, believe it or not, doing a ghost storytelling program for them. I do like 20 to 60 people on any given night, telling ghost stories of Williamsburg. And then I ended up going to work for the group I'm with now, the original Ghosts of Williamsburg, which is the second oldest ghost tour company in the United States.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I started with them in March, then COVID hit. So I was out for a couple months and I said, well, why not start a podcast? This sounds like a good idea.
I'll be right back with the conclusion of my conversation with DC O'Rourke right after these messages.
What is it about the unknown that fascinates us so much? Is it for the thrill of it all? Or do we seek proof of life after death? Whatever our reason may be, we find ourselves being drawn in by these places and the bone-chilling tales that they have to offer. Tortured souls cross boundaries to reach out with stories that they want to share with us. There are times we simply hear the echoes of a memory on loop. The question that remains is this: are you open-minded enough to handle it? Dive into the paranormal with DC O'Rourke, your personal guide, as we traverse the globe to dissect haunted places in each and every episode of Hauntingly Yours, a podcast for the paranormal, where the spirits are always waiting.
If you're looking for that special gift, here are a few books I highly recommend. I personally have these books and they are absolutely awesome. Beyond the Stars by Tom Warner. Tom was on the Netflix series Unsolved Mysteries, Berkshire's UFO. Tom was abducted by aliens, and his book is Beyond the Stars. To Me with Love by Tambre Ross. And Tambre takes you through what it's like growing up being a psychic medium. To Me with Love. Altering Eternity. Short Stories of the Paranormal by Beth Garcia. Beth is an author and musician out of California. Altering Eternity. Haunted Clark County, Virginia by Michael D. Hess. Another great read. Michael was a past guest and a fantastic author. Haunted Clark County, Virginia. The Case of the Missing Sock by Amber Richardson. This is a great illustrated book for children. And another past guest that was on is Jason Horton. He has a fantastic book out called Abandoned and Historic Los Angeles, Neon and Beyond by Jason Horton. All these books by these great authors can be found on Amazon. Search through Google, other search engines, and you will find them. Go into the show notes and they will all be there. Great, great holiday gifts for that special someone you just don't know what to buy. Back to my conversation with DC O'Rourke. I like the way you, you venture out to other parts of the country and history before you go.
Oh, sure. Yeah. When I started the podcast, I wanted to do something different, you know, not just stay within the United States, but I wanted to, you know, to be able to pull locations from all across the world and, you know, give people the history and the folklore and, you know, these true tales that people have, you know, passed along over the years.
You know, so when you go to the location, are you just on a history side of it? Or are you looking for a spirit? Or, I mean, or both?
Oh, both. Absolutely. Because I'm a firm believer that without history, you don't have ghosts. I mean, it's just that simple.
A couple of years ago, well, a friend of mine passed away. I'm a musician and he was a co-writer with me. He would commit a suicide by hanging. And a lot of people didn't believe it was suicide. But his mother called me and says, I need you to come over here. I'm going to show you some stuff. You know, so I went over to the house. There was so much activity there. And they had some psychics brought in and basically said it was not a suicide. So there was a lot of evidence there that he was still there. He didn't hang himself there at her house. He hung himself at his father's house. And when she was there, she's saying he clung to her and went to her house. That's where his activity is, at her house. So I hear that a lot also, you know, they can cling to you and, you know, take them different places where you go.
Yeah, I've had several people in my life, you know, actually, as a matter of fact, one of the women that I work with, she's about to marry this guy and his mother passed away not too long ago. And he's living in her house and she felt like something's there, you know? So she's been digging around. She's, you know, tried to capture EVPs and stuff like that. And now she's under the impression that mom is still there. And, you know, she's wondering if mom's going to follow along. And I said, well, if you're okay with it, why not invite her? You know, if she's not doing you guys any harm, I mean, she obviously wants to stay behind for a reason.
Right. And you think that you could do closure, like moving the spirit on?
Yeah. I'm actually kind of new to that. I've been learning what exactly I can do. Like, for example, I work in a nursing home during the day, and I've come to realize that there are a lot of spirits there who are stuck for whatever reason. And I'm trying to open the door, you know, and help them move on if they feel so inclined.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody has their own view on it.
Oh, sure.
But I believe you can move the spirit on. It's always just curious, you know, because people have different views on that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a spirit should be given the opportunity to move on. You know, they shouldn't be forced to linger here if they don't want to. You know, they should be given the option just as they would if they were living and breathing right in front of you.
I guess, you know, like I said earlier, you know, they pick who they want to be with, who they attach to.
Sure. I very much believe that.
And I really haven't had any relief myself, any demon experiences, except for one house I went into during my documentary. The lady wanted to share it with me, but she didn't want it on my video, which I was kind of leery going there because I was looking to put it on the documentary. After I got there, I got the heck out of there because it was very, very demonic. I mean, it was just, I knew from I walked in the front door. It's hard to explain. It didn't come up on my cameras didn't work. Nothing worked. EVP didn't work. And we had less equipment back then than they have today.
Oh yeah.
Everything just quit working, but everything just shut down. All my equipment.
Yeah. I've had that happen to me as a small handful of times. In my hometown, there used to be this abandoned nursing home that everyone would go and investigate. And every single night you would go in there, you know, all of your equipment would just go out on you without any real explanation for it. I mean, and you're in a place that hasn't been open since like the 1980s. And you're just looking around trying to find something, but you're pretty much just grasping at straws.
You had mentioned, you know, you work in a nursing home, and I do believe that in places like nursing homes, hospitals, asylums are loaded with tons of activity from these spirits that have not moved on, or, you know, their case just isn't closed yet.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I did an overnight investigation of Waverly Hills Sanatorium out in Louisville, Kentucky, back in 2018. I mean, that entire night was just highly active. And I mean, this place is 5 stories high, you know, a ton of rooms. And it just seemed like every single place I went, there was just something going on. I mean, we were catching EVPs and orbs, or, you know, we were hearing footsteps and doors would slam. I was in the operating room at one point and I felt somebody run up behind me, and I turned, and then I heard a voice whisper, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Whoa," you know, because I just got this chill right down my spine. And I, you know, I went and snapped a photo really quick. And when I went back and looked at it the next day, there was a guy standing there with his back to me wearing a white lab coat, and it just totally blew me out of the water.
I was talking to the security guard that worked at the hospital, and he was telling me the same thing, you know, that he won't even go up on the fourth floor. That was for the mental patients. A lot of the people up there died, and he said that was very, very active, and they'll be on the elevators riding up and down, just laughing and giggling and carrying on. You know, he says, I hear that all night long. You know, it's every night, every day, 7 days a week.
I can only imagine. Yeah.
And there's a place in Pennsylvania called Hillview Manor, if you ever get a chance to check that one out.
Okay, yeah.
Out back behind the Hillview Manor is where a lot of the cemetery was. So the people that died there were buried back there. And what they did, they brought in and they built a golf course back there and over top a lot of these graves.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of activity in that hospital. I believe a lot of it's from there.
Yeah, I'd say that's a safe bet. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I went to a paranormal convention back in September at a historic church up in Northern Virginia. And that church, the cemetery, you know, was pretty much all around the property. They came in like the 1980s and just kind of mowed over everything, you know, knocked down all the headstones, and they just started putting up buildings around the church. And now, you know, this church, which has pretty much fallen into disrepair, but the guy who owns it, Steve, he's slowly, you know, trying to restore it to its former glory. But they've come to realize that the place is super active, just super active. And I investigated it after the convention was over, You know, we had like four teams and I got some really interesting activity. I mean, within the first 10 minutes, I turned on my spirit box and it was like they all just flocked to me inside the church, you know, and they were calling me out by name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which would blew me away because I hadn't introduced myself. Here are all these spirits, you know, clear, I mean, crystal clear EVPs, you know, coming through. Denny, 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 Denny. Hi, Denny. Hey, Denny. And I said, whoa, hold on. Hey, guys, calm down. One at a time. They said, no, can't. Wait. Denny, help. I'm just like, wow, okay, so we know each other, you know, and they said yes. And I'm like, where have we met before? And they said outside. And I'm thinking, okay, outside this place or outside, you know, the property itself. But, you know, everyone kind of wanted to interject and ask their own questions because I all of a sudden became the center of attention.
Oh, you're the one they want to connect to.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they just wanted to keep talking to me. They didn't want to answer anybody else's questions. It was very, very neat. It was a great experience.
So of all the places you've investigated, what's your favorite?
Oh,
that's a tough question, huh?
that is a tough question. I would say Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Activity, all the activity.
Yeah, but you know, more importantly, it's such a historic location. I mean, it's just rich in history, and I could just get lost in it, you know, for days. I really should have become a historian.
Right, right.
I mean, people tell me that all the time. It's like, Denny, why aren't you a historian? Why aren't you a history teacher? And I'm just like, it's too much work. You know, I like reading and absorbing information and then just passing it on to others.
Well, I'm sure on your ghost tours, you're giving a history lesson to a lot of people that's not familiar with Colonialsburg, you know, Virginia.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, and I get commended on that all the time. Is, you know, wow, you really know your stuff. You know, and I always encourage people to ask questions, even while we're walking along, and I'm not running my mouth. You know, just hey, I used to work here. You know, I know the history very well. Feel free to ask me anything. I'll do my best to answer.
I know when I took the tour of Williamsburg, the tour guide was fantastic. So I imagine you have tons of stories for your guests, you know, on the tour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, all the time, you know, and it's like Williamsburg doesn't really promote the Civil War history nearly enough. Everything's colonial there, which I understand, but mm-hmm. You know, like there's a story from this one house where a 19-year-old guy, he's a first lieutenant. His name was William Dissisway. He is given command of, you know, the Union Army's headquarters, and he becomes federal provost marshal. And a couple months into this new gig, he comes out onto the front steps one morning to read the paper. One of his own guards comes up and pulls a gun and shoots him in the face and, you know, kills him point blank. And, you know, it's that type of stuff that they don't like to talk about, you know, and there are a ton of stories there that I feel like they need to be told.
Right. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, Williamsburg and Yorktown and Gettysburg, you know, mm-hmm. all these sites are so active and,
oh, sure.
Just in their own way, you know, mm-hmm. outside the Civil War. And, you know, and then the Civil War really adds to it. I know when we were there, just so many places to see and go and so many tour groups too, you know, ghost tours.
And yeah.
The next time I go, I'll have to look for your tour.
absolutely. You know, you can always shoot me a message. Hey, Denny, I'm coming to Williamsburg. And I'll get you squared away.
I see on here you were an actor. Is that for the tour or outside of that?
Oh, that was outside of that. I still do some stuff. I just don't do nearly as much as I used to because storytelling has become such a big part of my life now. I for a long time though, I was in movies and TV shows, commercials, industrials. I was doing, you know, theater, a lot of theater work as well.
pretty active resume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, it was a pretty easy transition, you know, especially doing, you know, what I do specifically, because it's basically just taking, you know, what I do on the streets and doing it on a microphone.
Yeah. And I love your podcast name, Hauntingly Yours, a podcast for the paranormal.
Yeah. So quick story behind that. When I was growing up, there was a series of ghost books, mainly folklore, by a gentleman named L.B. Taylor. You know, he wrote The Ghosts of Tidewater, The Ghosts of Williamsburg, The Ghosts of Fredericksburg, The Ghosts of Maryland. I mean, he has 24 books, you know, in the series. And it was a bit of a staple for me growing up, you know, in terms of local ghost stories of the area. And myself and my fiance actually met him probably about 4 years ago, right before he passed away. And he signed, you know, he autographed our copy of the Ghosts of Tidewater, and he signed it, Hauntingly Yours, L.B. Taylor.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, wow, if I ever do anything with ghost storytelling, I need to use that. And it's always stuck with me.
I subscribe to your podcast, and it's on my, I have listened to a couple so far. So I like the one with the Bardstown.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. The Talbot Tavern.
Oh yeah. I like that one. Yeah. And I've listened to a little bit of the Disney. I have to finish that one up.
Yeah, Disneyland was such an interesting one to dive into, because I mean, there's just so much history and urban legends there, and you know, it was just really neat for me to sit there and fish through it all and try to figure out what I wanted to share and what I didn't want to share. But I had no idea, you know, so many people have died at Disneyland, and I went, well, it explains why it's haunted. You know, I could have easily took a 1 hour podcast episode and probably turned it into a 2 hour episode if I felt so inclined.
I appreciate you being on today and sharing your stories and time with me. What's in the future for you?
In the future, well, season two of Hauntingly Yours will be coming at all my listeners very, very soon. I've got some great new locations. I'm actually going to bring guests on and, you know, interview guests, you know, historians, fellow investigators, and try to give everyone a different perspective, you know, let them hear the stories straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And then I've got a paranormal convention coming up at the end of January. I'll be going to historic Hanover Tavern in Hanover County, Virginia. It's a 18th century tavern. A lot of founding fathers have frequented this place. I'll be there for the convention, promoting my podcast, of course. And then later on that evening, we'll be investigating the tavern, the Hanover Courthouse across the street, and then the Old Stone Jail, which is right next door.
That sounds exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a very, very active location. I just toured it the first time a few weeks ago. So I'm very excited.
I love those conventions.
You
know,
yeah.
You know, because you meet so many different people.
Right. Exactly. Just so many great people. And, you know, and we're all there, you know, for a cause.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you for having me on.
I want to thank Denny O'Rourke for being the guest on my show today. And also, please check out Denny's podcast, Hauntingly Yours, a podcast for the paranormal. You can get that anywhere where you get your podcast. If you plan on making a trip to Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia, check out Denny's ghost tours that he conducts, Extreme Ghosts of Williamsburg, which is a candlelight walking tour that takes you to the most haunted places in Colonial Williamsburg. And all of Denny's links will be in the bottom in the show notes. And also in the show notes, please, if you need that special gift for somebody, there are plenty of books, and I will have their links to Amazon that are outstanding reads. We will be back next week with a special show. You don't want to miss that one. I'm your host, Al Cooley, from Ghosts in the Valley.
Podcast Network.